It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
What is going on, my audio friends? Here we go again for another episode of the Chris Van Vliet Show. Thank you for downloading this. I mean, we are pumping these out at a crazy rate. It's been almost one a day since we started about 3 weeks ago. I really appreciate you guys joining us because for a long time you'd been asking for the audio versions of my YouTube interviews so you could listen to them whenever, wherever. I saw your tweets. I saw your Instagram comments. I heard you and I listened. And here we are. And thank you for the 5-star reviews you've been leaving on Apple Podcasts. We're already in the top 200 for sports and recreation, and it's all because of you. So you're enjoying this. I'm enjoying this. And I said before that I was going to read one 5-star review on every episode. So here we go. Robert Bebe writes, glorious. Yeah, it's a lot of S's. It's like 14 S's there. I'm not that interested in podcasts. Oh, well, thank you, Robert. But since listening to Chris, he's changed my mind. Amazing speaker and interviewer. I never missed an episode. Well, then you'll be hearing this since you don't miss an episode. Great questions and conversations. Great job. Keep up with the great job. Keep up with the amazing job. There we go. Well, thank you so much. Keep these 5-star reviews coming. I'm going to read one on every episode so that you guys are part of the show and also to encourage you to leave a review so I can read it on the show. And just you can be like Robert Bebe. The Chris Van Vliet Show, as you know, is brought to you by Green Roads, and not all CBD products are created equal. And you've heard a lot about CBD oil, CBD products. For me, it works. This stuff is the real deal, and it's the real deal from Green Roads because they're a pharmacist-founded company dedicated to improving the lives of people who take it. People like me, who this weekend at Fight for the Fallen in Jacksonville drove 5 hours each way. The show ran a little bit late. We did the interviews afterwards for the post-media scrum. Didn't get back to the hotel till 2 in the morning and didn't get to bed till 3:51 in the morning and then had to wake up at 6:30 in the morning. So if you do the math, that's 2 hours and 39 minutes of sleep that I got. And it caused a little bit of stress. So Green Roads really helped kind of just make everything just slightly better. Maybe I didn't think about it as much. Also, their relaxed gummies have been amazing. They taste really good too. They taste just like actual gummy bears. So use my code Chris15 to get 15% off your order at greenroadsworld.com. Also, the CV show brought to you by the audio equipment that we use from Samson Technologies. They make it sound as great as we do. I like to think that, I mean, we've done almost 20 episodes here, and I think that we sound pretty good being 20 episodes in. A lot of people that are 20 episodes in sound like this, where you can barely hear them, and it just sounds super echoey. I'm glad that we're not one of those shows. So over the last few months, SamsonTech.com to check out their full lineup. Over the last few months, and especially since Fyter Fest, there have been a lot of requests for me to interview Darby Allin. And it's not like I can really take requests. It's not like I'm the DJ at your fat Uncle Mike's wedding or something. But seriously, I do the interviews that I can do, the ones that I have access to, with the people that make themselves available, or the people that are actually interested in doing an interview. And you know, some people do reach out to me and say, "Hey, Chris, can you do an interview next time you're in?" Insert the name of the town they live in, and I usually go, "Yeah, sure, I'll fly there next week." So not everyone wants to do an interview, and that's okay. That's their prerogative. But with Darby, I had actually worked some independent shows with him at Blueprint Pro Wrestling in Deerfield Beach, Florida, where I'm the ring announcer. So the owner of Blueprint and one of my very good friends, Jamil Malik, reached out to Darby, said, "Let's make this happen in Jacksonville." So boom, here we are. Thank you to Jamil for making this happen. And Darby's a fascinating character. You will see with this interview. And as you saw at Fight for the Fallen, he is super over. With him, it's part gimmick and it's part real. And he has a lot of stories here. And they are, these stories are fascinating and interesting and riveting. And you'll see. Also, a lot of voices. He does a lot of really interesting voices in this interview. But if you didn't know much about Darby before, it's hard not to love him after this. Man, this is a good one. So buckle up for my chat with Darby Allin. All right, well, it's good to see you again. People might not know this. We've worked together before, Blueprint Pro Wrestling, Deerfield Beach, Florida. But here we are in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, people, I think, are used to seeing like a full half, painted face. What's going on here?
Well, we just got here, Jacksonville, right off the plane. Decided to film a promo last second for tomorrow's Fight for the Fallen, and I was going to go eat at a restaurant, and I was kind of contemplating, do I keep the face paint on, or do I wash it off? And I kind of got halfway through, and then I just, this is what you get.
Oh, so you were kind of washing it off.
Yeah.
And then we showed up, and you're like, well, this is what you got.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I go everywhere with my face paint regardless. Like, I really don't care. I'll go to the airport with it. I'll go to the, you know, gym with it sometimes, like, you know, and stuff like that. After I film promos, because, like, I'm just... I like showering, but I don't like... it's a long story.
What's the reaction that people give you when they see you wearing...
Crackhead.
Okay, yeah.
Crackhead.
Uh-huh. They say this to you, or they're just looking at you that's a crackhead look.
They're like, hey, crackhead. I'm like...
And you're like, well, but read my knuckles.
Yeah, I'm right? Straight edge, but... Yeah. I don't know, man. People always, for some reason, think the drug-free... means free drugs. And I'm just like, the fuck are you? But yeah,
I think some fans see the face paint and go, oh, this is just a guy who likes to paint his face. There's obviously a much deeper story to this.
Yeah,
for people who don't know what it is, what is it?
All right, well, if you saw on the Welcome to AEW Fighter Fest, like, introduction to Darby, who is Darby Allin? So when I was 5 years old, I was driving with my uncle, and he was drunk driving. And obviously you don't know what the difference from normal driving and drunk driving is when you're that age.
Sure.
But he got in a car accident from it, and he passed away. So I paint my face because 50% of me feels dead inside. That's like the trust for people and the respect for people. So I just felt like... it's been on, like, carrying with me through my whole life, like, whether it's the stuff I film on a skateboard or the stuff I film for TV or all the crazy shit I do in the ring. Like, when you're like that close to death at such an early age, I really feel like it makes you want to live that much more.
But like, when people watch your matches, it's very obvious that you like don't have a respect for your body. You're maybe not scared of dying. What's going on there?
A lot, you know. Like, it's weird because the more like life happens, the more I'm like, wait, this is actually pretty cool. Like,
living?
Yeah. But then they're like, back then I just did not know what my calling was in life. You know what I mean? And I had so many times I felt like I almost died in life. Like, for example, that game Hot Potato. Hot Potato, Hot Potato. My brother and me were wanting to play, but with like a baked potato, and I wanted to like set it on fire with like a gas tank.
No.
And then we were going to play with that, but as I was lighting on fire, I had the gas tank in my hand, and then like some of the flame that was already on the potato shot into the gas tank blew up while I was holding the gas tank, and actually like broke this finger, and you can see the little bone sticking halfway out there. But it actually engulfed both of us, and his whole leg right here, like the skin was gone, and it was just straight up muscle. And then to this day, like, I'd like pop my ears and like
and to pop like, your eardrums.
Then like, like swollen's hard. But that's and then just some crazy like skateboarding stuff that I've done. Like, you know, it's like looking back on it, it's like, dude, there's like, I was like risking everything, like doing half of these stunts. But like, you know, you don't think about it, because when you live like there's no tomorrow, it just becomes so natural to just don't give a fuck.
Do you feel like maybe in some sort of strange way you cheated death when you were five? So you're like, well, if I cheated death then, I'm fine now.
Yeah, I literally thought like things aren't gonna get much worse than that. So I was like, dude, like, let's just push things. And it just like, it comes from a lot of areas, like feeling like you can't fit in with anybody, and then the moment you do something psychotic, they're like, oh, that's crazy, let's, it like breaks the ice, you know what I mean? So for someone like me that's like maybe not be like that good of like a communicator with people, like, hey man, like I don't just walk into a room and go, yo, I like sit in the corner, like, in, you know, I do that at wrestling shows, I do that every, but the moment like you get noticed and someone's like, you're, no, yeah, that crazy fucking thing you did the other day, let's talk about it. I'm like, okay, now I can talk. But besides that, you'll see me like probably just like screw off in the janitor's closet and like take a nap or something. Like,
it's true. When I saw you backstage at the show, you're very unassuming. You know, you shake hands and then you just kind of go to the corner and you do your own thing.
Yeah, but
and then the match starts and it's like, oh my God, that's Darby Allin.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, but in a way, I wouldn't have any other way because I feel like it got me to where I am today. So.
I think a lot of people are, you know, were introduced to you at Fyter Fest. You're obviously your match with Cody. A lot of people, when I tweeted that I was going to interview you, were talking about the coffin drop, which is the move you did to the apron and looked very, very painful.
Yeah.
Where did the idea for the coffin drop come from?
It's just the thought in my head, a do or die moment in the match. Am I just going to roll Cody in and try to pin him, or am I going to try to annihilate him or decapitate him? And I wanted to decapitate him because then I knew for sure, like, that was going to get the win. So it's just pretty much risking it all. And yeah, that fucked up my ribs pretty bad.
Oh, that was just, I would think your spine.
Yeah, no, for some reason it was my ribs. Like, over here, like, you go, and then I got a massage the next day. And the lady was just like walking on my back. And she's like, oh, your back's so tight. And I'm like, because it's fucked up. But
where did you first come up with that move?
It's just like, okay, like with my wrestling, I don't fly to look pretty. I fly to hurt. So I ain't going to do a 630. I ain't going to do a million rotations when I'm at the top. I'm just going to throw all my body at you. Like all my body weight. And I assume how I do that, it's the most impactful. Like I've heard people say, like, I've nearly shit my pants after taking that coffin drop. And that's actually happened before. A lot of people actually shit their pants from it.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My people, so I had this like tryout match a couple of years ago, and then I was wrestling the guy and I did it to him in the match, and he shit his pants, and then like I didn't know it, but you just like, you smell something. And then, like, you start looking around, and then there's, like, little puddles of shit. Because apparently he ate, like, a Pizza Hut buffet the night before. So it was just, like, everywhere. And then I just remembered him, like, getting out of the ring after the match and then sitting in a chair to get critiqued from the person who was running the thing. And then he got up, and then I saw this huge bubbly pile of just diarrhea. And then I didn't want to rat on him. Like, yo, man, there's fucking shit everywhere. So, I didn't tell anybody, and no one else saw it. And they're all, everyone else getting your critique, they just sat in that same chair.
No.
They got all these white gear and all this stuff. And I was just like,
oh my God.
In a way, it was like a nice, like, like it was funny. Just
Why does the coffin drop cause this to happen?
I don't know, man.
Or is it just out of sheer fear?
I think it's because, like, all my body weight, there's no way of, like, landing soft on them, because sometimes you do the 450 and you can land on your hands and knees and kind
right,
of protect
sure.
the blow. I can't fucking save anybody's life for this, and like it's just like, yeah, so I think it's like all pressure, and it just depends on where I hit them.
And when someone moves out of the way, I feel very bad for you.
Yeah, but it's like one of those moves, like, you know, all or nothing. You're gonna make it or you're gonna die trying, and that's just how I like to live.
And in that match with Cody, it was such an interesting spot when you went into the body bag. You obviously couldn't see anything at all in there.
No. God, that was tricky. Because as I was standing, it was like jumping up and down in
yeah.
the body bag. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I can't see anything. Yeah, it was tricky. But I'm not one to get claustrophobic. But that just felt like, you know, I don't know. Couldn't breathe really in there. But and
could you bump correctly in there?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess not. But
And there's also, you know, there's some critics online that say, you know, your match with Cody was great. But then a lot of people aren't even paying attention to your match because of what happened after the match with Sean Spears.
Yeah. Yeah, and that sucks because it is a debut and it means everything, you know what I mean? And then I literally felt like I put as much into that match as I physically could at times. And then to get it overshadowed like it did, yeah, it sucks. It's fucking annoying as hell, but in a way it makes you think you gotta like work harder next time. So if you thought you put on a decent match there, you gotta make it harder to top over just a chair, you know? So like so no matter what happens after my match, I want people to remember only my match. And unfortunately, that might entail me dying some more in the match. Because, you know, that's what you gotta do.
Oh, please don't die at Fight for the Fallen, please.
No, not yet.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe Sean Spears will die.
How much has changed for you since Fighter Fest? I mean, obviously that was a big match for you, maybe one of the biggest of your career.
Absolutely.
How much has changed for you before that match to, you know, where we sit here right now?
A lot. Like, and it's like a light switch because, you know, some people think like on the indies, like, I'm fucking rock and roll, king of the world. Like, yeah, I'm big dog. And then you get introduced to a company like AEW, and then it just humbles the fuck out of you. And you're like, you get all these comments. Who the fuck is Darby Allin? Who's Darby Allin?
Yeah.
What is this guy? And you're just like, damn, man, all that work. It felt like it went under the radar. So when I was saying in that promo, I felt like my career, I've been wrestling now for 5 years, but I felt like a lot of it was under a rock. And, like, I mean that. You know, I'm not going to come into this company acting like I'm the king of the goddamn universe. I'm going to tell you how I really feel. And that's how I felt. I felt like, you know, a lot of it was just humbling. And it was nice. But now you can show the whole world of wrestling what you're capable of now. And so, like, a lot of people just... a lot of comments. Where have you been my whole life? Been coughing, dropping on aprons in Kentucky.
Yeah, all over the world.
Yeah.
But we're just scratching the surface right now of Darby Allin.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing about it.
Yeah, there's a lot I got left. I got so much stuff in my mind like that I'm ready to just like get out there. And I'd like to say I'm a real go-getter out there. I don't like to wait for direction. I like to do my own thing. So, and with a platform like AEW, like, here, you want to be yourself, show us what you got.
So there's been a real opportunity to just kind of drive the character yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing.
100%. Everything I've done, I've came up with myself, and I haven't been told to film something. I've just filmed something. So, you know, because like, all I ever wanted was this platform. So I might as well just run with it.
Was the transition from skateboarding to wrestling like a natural transition for you? You're both, you know, you're putting your body on the line in both of them.
Yeah, but dude, like skateboarding is so much worse. God, it destroyed me. And the difference...
Really bad on your nuts too.
Yeah, the difference between skateboard and wrestling is a skateboard slam, sometimes you're there like by yourself. And you fall, and you're like, ow, that hurt. But with wrestling, there's thousands of people like, yeah, good, man, awesome. But it's like a light, like a difference. But like skateboarding definitely prepared me more than anything for pro wrestling. Like my first day at practice, I was bumping, you know, learning bumps. And then my trainer was like, yep, how do you feel, man? Hurts, doesn't it? And I'm like, No, I feel good. Like, and he's like, well, what do you mean? Like, it's as if it's like disrespectful to like the business that.
Yeah.
God forbid you feel pain from another sport, but I just like, well, here's these clips of me falling on concrete for my whole life, and he's like, oh, okay.
What made you decide that you were done with skateboarding, or at least at that level, and now it was time to go into wrestling?
I'm a very storyteller of a human being, I'd say. And can tell the story I want it to the world on my skateboard compared to like an audience, you know, physical Broadway and stuff like that. So if I'm going to fall, I might as well convey it with like emotion and character instead of just a dude at a skate park that like breaks his ankle and screams on the fucking gravel. Fuck!
So you still skate, right?
Yeah, I try to skate all the time. All the time. I just got back having a 6-day trip in Arizona, and I skated like the whole time I was down there. And I was trying some spooky stuff, and I was just, all that was in the back of my head. It was all like, yeah, fight for the fall on Saturday. How are you going to explain to Tony if you break your leg?
Yeah, you got to be extra careful now.
It's hard, though, man, because I'm so passionate about both of them, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, I just want to skate, and I just want to, like, do all this stuff. But it's like, ugh, because back then I could, like, break my ankle, and then, like, just like, oh, okay, cool, I'll just hang out for, like, a month. But now it's like, oh, shit, we got TV coming up.
Yeah.
We got all this stuff, and it's like, I don't want to make my debut on TV in a wheelchair. And be like,
there might be a chance that when TV does start, they're going to say, hey, Darby, can you lay off the skateboarding a bit? Yeah. We need you.
Yeah, I've been actually, there's like this mega ramp. A guy named Bob Burnquist, it's in his backyard. It's like one of the biggest ramps you can jump, like gap-wise. And I want to try it like before TV starts.
But like, well, if Darby shows up on TV in a wheelchair, you'll know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got planned.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah, I know, but damn, it's hard to pass up.
What's your go-to skateboarding move?
I like No Complies. No Comply 360 is like a big trick that I've always liked. And it's, especially as much times as I've broken my ankles, it feels really easy on the ankles and stuff like that.
Can you explain it to someone who might not know what that looks like?
Dude, it's so hard, man. It's so hard. It's like the weirdest thing, because like a kickflip, you say like the board flips, but it's fucking, God, I don't even know how to.
Well, everyone's going to now Google it after watching this.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm trying to do like low impact things on my body when it comes to a skateboard now. Because like before, I used to jump off these like huge ass sculptures and stuff like that. And just like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but.
But now that you're married to Priscilla Kelly, you know, another wrestler, is she like, hey, babe, maybe you shouldn't be doing this crazy stuff?
Yes and no. Yeah, because she's just like, I don't want to have to take care of you. Like, when you're older, like, all like fucked up. At the same time, I'm like, look how far I've came now with it, you know? Let's get that beautiful trailer by the water that we've always wanted.
Have you had to give her a call and go, hey, I am really hurt?
Yeah, yeah. She was actually in Japan when it happened. It was Mania Week in like 2 weeks. Two weeks. What the fuck? 2 years ago. And I was at a Progress show, and I did this like dive onto Janela, but like my head hit the ground, the concrete, and I was bleeding from the brain. And then like I like finished the match, and then like I rushed myself to the hospital, and like, yo, you're like bleeding from the brain, man, like, and I was just like, ah. And then there's like, they're like, hey, man, just chill out, and you know, we'll do some more stuff. And I remember I had to call Priscilla, and she was in Japan, and she was just like, dude, like, God, you can't be doing this. And it's like, she's having like a mental breakdown.
Well, yeah, people can die from brain bleeding.
Yes, that's happened.
Yeah,
to like, there's this guy in my junior high, and he's playing football. And then halfway through the game, he got a concussion, but he didn't know.
He just
had the adrenaline running too much. And then he kept playing. And then by the end of the game, he passed out. And then the air fucking had, helicopters had to lift him to the hospital. And then his brain was swelling so bad that they had to drill into his skull to like try to relieve pressure. And now he's stuck in a wheelchair, like in a vegetable state.
We don't want that to happen to you.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
But it's like that's all that was playing in my mind when I was in New Orleans, was thinking about that. Because I remember I just moved to that school, and people were like, yo, this guy, he just got fucked on the football field. And then I was like thinking, now every time I hit my head, I'm like, oh, God damn it, I don't want to fuck. But it's just like, it's like such unpredictable, because like this could happen anywhere, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You could be mowing your lawn, and then a bird.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, but maybe. Take us back to when you met Priscilla. Where was it, and how did that happen?
It was in the Evolve van.
Okay.
Fucking.
Going to and from a show or something?
Yeah, we used to drive from Florida to New York, and it'd be like almost like 25 hours like in this van. And like, I remember she was in the van, and I never talked to her for like a whole year in the van. I was like, girl in wrestling, nope, not talking to her. It only leads to bad shit. You don't dip your ink in the, you don't dip your pen in the company ink. God damn it. And then I just remembered one night I was taking a trip to like Times Square after the show because we had a double shot with Progress and I wasn't on Progress. And I was like, I'm just going to go to Times Square. And then she's like, I've never been. Like, can I come? I'm like, no. And she's like, please. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I start talking to her on the subway. And I was like, this person is absolutely nothing like I thought she was. She's like so like much better like than I thought she was. You know, and that was on me for being like stereotyping people. You know what I mean? But then from there, like I like lived in my car in Atlanta. And then she lived in Atlanta at the same time. Because I would just go there to train. Like, and then it just so happened to be she's like, hey, you like, you don't have to like live in your car. You can like stay at my house from time to time. I'm like, okay.
And but you didn't think anything of it?
No. At this point,
you were dating at the time.
Slowly starting to date because it was just like, you know, it's spooky, man. Because like you don't want to have to like get in a relationship and break up with somebody and have to see them every fucking week. Like it's so scary, especially
yeah,
like
it's the company ink. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, that's why I always joked like a long time ago, like my dream girl is a girl who works at Lowe's or Home Depot. People are like, why? I'm like, because they won't hurt you. And they're like, dude, like I'm pretty sure girls at Home Depot cheat on people too. But just in my mind, I was thinking like Home Depot people are so nice.
Hold on, we kind of skipped over the part where you're living in your car. Why were you living in your car?
Because certain companies don't pay shit.
But still, you weren't able to like make ends meet or like live with somebody? No. Or?
The thing is, I liked living in my car because it just forces you to get up and go. Like you wake up, you go to bed, you wake up at 6 in the morning, it's all hot and muggy, and you're like, I want to sleep in. No, you can't sleep in. You got to get your day going. And that's what I really liked. I really liked doing that. And I just remember I had all these hospital bills and all this shit. And I was like, dude, I can't afford to like live anywhere right now. And so it like kind of compromised the way I liked living with like being forced to like just get up and go. And in the meantime, I could pay off some of these hospital bills without having
rent. How long were you living?
I'm not a freeloader. Like I hate asking people for like shit, you know, like, hey, sure, let me live on your couch. No, I lived in my car for about like 3 months. Like it wasn't anything like, but then like, once I started dating Priscilla, like I just remember like just being more at her place. And then, eventually we got married and got our own place.
Yeah.
And then as the time, I feel like she's like a good luck charm in a way. Cause like once we started like dating, I felt like my career started picking up. And once I got married, I feel like my career started picking up. And now I'm here. And now I can just like fucking, I don't know. It's cool to be with somebody from like when you guys are like, when she has glasses, when she doesn't wear her contacts. And then like she like broke her glasses one time. And like I remember like we didn't have any money to like buy repair kit for glasses. And I remember just like digging in the coins like in the car to like find money to buy her, like secretly surprise her with this like I kit repair thing, you know. And then it's fun to be from that moment in our lives to like now.
Yeah.
And that's like we've only been get together for like almost like 2 years now, and it's just like a lot's happened since then, so it's cool.
Wait, so you were just indie wrestling? That was the only thing that was paying the bills?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just refused.
Did you think about, you know, getting another job?
No, God, no. I'd rather be homeless.
You could have worked at Lowe's or Home Depot.
Oh, no. Can't dip your ink in the company. But, no, like, seriously. I wanted to tell myself, like, I don't want anything, like, any, like, you know, safety net here. I was like, you're either going to fucking make it in this wrestling or you're going to live in your car your whole life. And if you don't make it out of this car, you're not trying that hard.
Wow.
So like that's how I thought. And I'm a very, you know, a lot of people, like, if they ask, like, hey, can you give me some tips on wrestling? Can you, like, help train me, like, local people from, like, Seattle? I'm such an asshole. Because, like, a lot of people, like, to, like, try to, like, freeload. And they're like, hey, can you put the word in for me here? I'm like, dude, like, no. Like, do it yourself. Like, because I lived in my car for this. I've spent so much nights in the hospital for this. Like, I'm not going to help you. And that's not being an asshole. I just feel like everyone, at the end of the day, when you do get somewhere on your own, yeah, without friendship, championship, wrestling, it's that much more rewarding, and it makes you appreciate it that much more.
So when you're living in your car, what do your meals look like?
Oh, I actually had a George Foreman, and I'd bring in to the Anytime Fitness, and I'd cook food on the grill at like 1 in the morning. And then
did they catch on to what you were doing?
No, not they, but like people at the gym would come in, and they'd be like, yo, man, what is my little chicken in? And then I was all like,
these voices are awesome.
Yeah, but they were just like, everyone was like, man, like, it's my last chicken. And I was just like, yeah, dude. And then a lot of, like, it was a lot of stuff. I would never eat out. I was, like, so against it. Just because I, like, didn't have the money for it, you know?
Okay.
And yeah. I was like, oh, man, like, by the price of one meal, I could have bought six.
This is the thing people don't realize. Like,
yeah.
You could buy a bag of grilled chicken for, like, $10.
Yeah.
Or you can buy one meal at Subway for
And those
bucks.
Air dryers, I would, like, take shrimp and I put it in my hand and, like, put it under the air dryers. And, like,
no.
Yeah, I got a video of it. But sometimes they'd fly over the floor and, like, trying to balance it. Just, like, you know, but, like, that was just a, yeah.
What if AEW didn't come along? Well, you'd be living with Priscilla, but, you know.
Who knows? Like, dude, honestly, who knows, man? Like, things are so crazy in wrestling right now. I feel like anything, like, but AEW, I love it so much because it gives me the platform to be recognized on a serious level,
yeah,
instead of being, like, typecasted as, like, a 205 Live guy, where it's like, you're down here. You're in this company, but you're really not here. We're going to just keep you down here. Like, mm-hmm. And I feel like that's so, like, you talk about, like, back in, like, WCW when all the cruiserweights would always, like, be like, dude, it was so annoying to be considered a cruiserweight, mm-hmm, when, you know, you got the main roster guys and, like, it was so, stereotyping everybody. And then, like, they're bitching about it back then, and now it's happening again, and it's, like, the same thing. Like, you're never going to be in the Royal Rumble. Like, yeah, sure, like, some people have been, but, like, they're not taking that, like, serious, and you're always going to be on the pre-show. And it's like, dude, there comes a time where, like, I just want it more out of my career, and there's no way I was going to go there and, like, settle for that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I want it to, like, tell my story, and I don't feel like, you know, one promo at AEW made me more than I think 5 years could have ever done there, period.
Wow.
Because they let me be me.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's, like, the biggest thing to me is I'm a performer. I'm not a guy who you can tell, like, hey, say this or read this or this is how you're going to act. I'm Darby Allin. I'm going to die as Darby Allin.
And you believe that with the way AEW's booking things, that you could be the world champion?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is exact opposite of what you were talking about with WCW and 205 Live.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? I feel like someone as relentless and determined as myself, anything's possible. And if you're not in here to be taken serious like that, like, I feel like you're wasting your time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Justin Roberts announced you, I think, at 174 at Fighter Fest. That's your shoot weight?
Yeah.
You didn't, like, a lot of guys will weigh 174 and they'll go, oh, announce me at 195.
Or, no. I like to be real as much as, like, you know, this world will allow it. But that's why, like, I say these things in, like, promos, and I tell, like, how I feel on my life story things, is because I just so sick of these people acting like everything's so awesome and everything's, like, amazing and perfect. Like, oh, God, I've never had any problems in my life. Like, this is awesome. Like, I'm the best. I'm, like, the greatest. Like, that's their, like, there's... What's your wrestling character? I'm the greatest. Like, can you, like, I'm the greatest. I'm the best. Okay, we get it. Like, there's so much generic shit out there, you know? So, I don't know. I just like to keep it real.
Well, if we're keeping it real, I think people need to know that you were on TLC for a very different medical problem, I guess.
Yeah.
What was the show called?
Sex Sent Me to the ER. The episode's called Birds and Bees. I was living in Arizona at the time, and I was, like, really fucking broke. Like, working at the 99-cent store down there. Like, legit, like, spending $10, like, a week on food from the Dollar Tree. Just, like, it'd be nights where you're like, oh, like, you, like...
Like, two-for-one tuna, or, I don't know. Yeah. What's the go-to at the dollar store?
Yeah, like, just all this, like, nasty-ass food. And you, but then I just remember, like... There's this thing, sex sent me to the ER, and then I, like, wrote into it and came up with this, like, fake-ass story about, like, hiking in the woods with, like, a grandma. And then, like, we were, like, making love, and then, like...
You and the grandma.
Yeah, okay. and then, like, we rolled over in, like, a bee's nest, and then, like, we thought it was, like, dead. The bees were, like, the nest was dead. The nest was, like, there was no bees in there. We just, like, oh, it's a... It's an old bee's nest. And then, like, the bees came out and attacked us.
And this obviously did not happen at all.
No, God.
But you got to be on TLC and you got paid for it.
Yeah. But, like, I came up with the story. And then, like, and I remember TLC thought it was real.
And of course they would think it's real.
Yeah, and they're like, and then, but I was like, shit, they're going to fly me down there to film this interview. I'm like, I need to find a grandma. So I like Craigslist people, and then there's like this aspiring actress down in Los Angeles where they're filming it, and I messaged her about it. I'm like, hey, would you just like to pretend on a show? And she's like, yeah, that'd be cool. So
oh my God, what's her name?
I forgot, to be honest. And then I remember we filmed it, and we like it was fun, and you know, you got paid $800 and like put up in a nice hotel, and then I was like, for me, I was like, $800, like, fuck, I've made it.
Yeah.
So it was fun though, but yeah, you seen that movie My Girl with Macaulay Culkin?
Yeah, of course.
So like when he dies at the end with the bees, so like the director of the show was like, "So what's going through your head when the bees are attacking you?" And I like started like I was like, "Oh, dude, I just didn't want to end up like Macaulay Culkin." And he's like, "We can't use this." I'm like, cut. But it was fun. That shit's fun to me.
Is that what kind of inspired you to chase after the MTV stuff?
No, I was doing the MTV stuff way before, just through mutual friends and skateboarding and stuff like that. And then, like, I remember just like my friend Matt Schlager. He's this guy who got flown down to Ridiculousness and was on this like episode as like one of the guests. And he like tried to ollie like this like flat 13. So it was like the equivalent of like almost like 30 stairs.
Okay.
And then it was in the pouring rain, and he just ate the worst shit in it. And then like, but then I like got connected through him, and then I started sending stuff to MTV all the time. And then like, they're like, the crazier, the better. So I just started like upping the ante like every week, and then just filming crazier and crazier things to the point where like they couldn't take it anymore. Like the crazy shit.
Like what's the craziest thing? Like, what was the cutoff there? I'd love to hear what the thing was where they went, sorry.
The cutoff was when we were driving from Arizona to Vegas, and it was like that 5-hour car ride, and we all rolled up the windows and wore diapers and took X-Lax and shit our pants the whole way there.
Oh no.
And whoever rolled down the window first lost. And if you lost, well, in reality, we're all losers for doing that. But if you lost, you get smacked in the face with the diapers.
Oh my God!
But like, I remember, like, I was like, yeah, man, we're gonna like this is gold. Like, they're gonna buy this, and like, this is gonna be on TV.
This is like some Jackass stuff.
Yeah, but then like they were just like, what the hell? You can't use that. Dude's in a diaper back there chugging fucking X-Lax. And because like there's just like this guy named Juan Pablo, and he was my brother, me, and this guy named Juan Pablo. And Juan Pablo was like this big heavy set guy. And then like I remember the windows were rolled up and the AC was broke, so it was like 115 in the car.
Oh.
It was hot as hell. And then he just had this like fry box from McDonald's, and he's just like, you know, and I look back at him like, dude, this is the grossest thing ever. I thought the fry box cooling himself down was grosser than the actual shit, because it just looked so...
We saw Tommy Dreamer do some like weird stuff in WWE. Do you think that this would transfer over for you to your wrestling character?
No, I don't know if I'd want to, but at the same time, you know, if someone really wants to pick up a fight with somebody, like, no one's going to fight somebody if they're covered in shit. Like, I don't care who you are. Like,
that's true.
Yeah.
It's also really gross.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah. I don't think I'd carry it onto my wrestling though, because I don't know, man. I just feel like my wrestling, like, to me, it's like, this is fucking serious. Like, my life. Like, this is like my life's work right here. And then there's times to dick around, but then there's times like that you gotta like really fight for what you like, you know what I mean? But I absolutely love digging around. Just
are these ever gonna be pranks you pull on people backstage?
I've pulled some pranks before backstage, just like letting off like stink bombs and shit and stuff like that, but like nobody like knew it was me.
Oh, now they do.
And then, yeah, but like I just remember just like it was a lot of just like random stuff like that, and then yeah, there's some weird shit.
Yeah, I remember in the interview you did with Alicia Toot, you were talking about, it was right before your wedding, and you were talking about how you hadn't met your father-in-law yet, but you were going to pepper spray him at the wedding, and this was somehow a great idea.
Yeah.
So how'd that go?
Well, it didn't go.
Okay.
Because he was on a drug binge and got arrested a couple days before the wedding and taken away, and he's still in jail, and it's been like a year and a half.
Okay, wow. So, well, that story took a turn.
He writes letters all the time. I'm sorry, Mr. Wedding.
So when he gets out, you're going to welcome him with
a
pepper spray?
I was like, yeah, dude, like, this, about that.
What's the idea behind this? Nobody wants to get pepper sprayed.
Oh, I think it's more of like a break the ice. Like, hey. You know, like, that's like something you do with like a close friend.
Yeah, or a police officer to a victim.
Or like a creepy guy trying to break in your house.
Right.
But, but like, yeah, I just thought it'd be like, you know, like, hey, you know, remember that time I met my father-in-law and I pepper sprayed his ass first time? Like, yeah, that was awesome.
Who's this voice? I love it.
I don't even know, dude. It's like hillbillies.
Do you think we'll ever see a color photo on your Instagram?
No. Maybe.
Oh
no, just kidding. I don't know. I like, you know, I don't know, I just think it's aesthetically pleasing when it's like that, and then I don't know, it's nice.
So if we just scratch the surface of Darby, this is the scratching the surface motion here for people that are watching this, not listening to the podcast, what can we expect in the next, like, if you and I sat down a year from now and had the same conversation, What would we have seen in this last year in AEW?
Darby being a household name, like, internationally. You know, you take that, those 13,000 followers, and you turn it to 1,300,000 I don't even know.
That's some Stott Steiner math there.
I don't even know. My mind is racing. No, it's just like, because, like I said, it's just a matter of time before people like get introduced to me.
Well, we can get you some more followers right now.
Yeah,
just tell everyone. We'll link it up below. Just at Darby Allin, right?
See, like, I don't really. It's like weird because, like, I don't care about Twitter and I don't care about Instagram.
But it's also the way the business is going.
Exactly. But I also feel like it's just a nice way to like show the people like yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like everything I do put on is like, whether it's my skateboard material or my just weird ass stuff, like, the last thing that I really posted was like, I like paid a clown for Priscilla's birthday to break into the house, and like, and then she like woke up with this clown in the house, like singing happy birthday, and it's like, it's just random shit like that.
This is what you're missing if you don't follow Darby.
Yeah, but there's a lot of just things like that. But it's just fun, you know what I mean? Because you can actually like connect with people that like will end up like looking up to you, and that's always,
oh, yeah,
that's always nice to like connect with these people that like feel like losers or outcasts. Because like, I remember I just did like this autograph sign in the mall like down in Tucson like last week, and then people were like, dude, it's like, here's this drawing I did of you, and like, how much of inspiration.
Wow.
And it's just like, it's like, oh, like, that's nice, like, thank you very much. And it's just like, I just want to, you know, I'm not here for like fame where it's like, oh, like, I'm better than you. I just want to like be real with people. So when you talk to me, like, be real with me. Like, don't like think of me as like this wrestling guy, you know. I was just working at the 99-cent store 5 years ago eating damn, oh, that's another good one. They're throwing away hot dogs at the 99-cent store, and there's like 500 of these hot dogs, and then like I took them all and I filled up my bath with them and took a bath with them. And I got a video of that. That's also on Instagram, so you can watch that.
Did you eat the hot dogs too?
No. Okay. Actually, my brother, thank God. My brother threw up in the bathtub with all the hot dogs.
Oh my God.
And then like and then like I had to actually go to Los Angeles to film that 6MER the next day. So I didn't clean out the hot dogs. So I was gone for like 3 days.
Oh no.
And then I came back and there's like moldy throw up with all these hot dogs.
Oh, must have smelled awful.
It was the worst. And then my dog tried to jump in there and eat it. I'm like, oh, you're gonna die. But yeah, just weird stuff like that.
Man, we've learned so much in this interview.
Yeah.
This is definitely
40 minutes.
Yeah. 40 minutes of just interestingness. Like, yeah, seriously.
There's a lot of just stuff. I don't know, man. Like, the biggest thing is, like, I feel like next year, this time next year, more people will see shit like this. You know what I mean? Like, more like human pieces of me.
Yeah.
Like, getting to know me, and not so much you know, like, the character stuff for wrestling is awesome because it does feel like me, because I'm just pissed off all the time. Just wanting
I don't know if I believe that.
I'm pissed off in the sense of, like, wanting to prove people wrong.
Okay.
From stereotypes and stuff like that. Like, that's, like, otherwise I'm a very happy man. But, like, I'm like, pissed off with just, like, people just, like, you know, like, oh, that guy really, like, look at him, like, is he really belong here, or what's the deal with him? You know what I mean? It's like, dude, like, wrestling, we all come in different shapes and sizes. Yeah. And I want people to, like, you know, I don't want to, like I said, live as Darby and die as Darby, you know. So this year, next year, time, whatever the fuck I just said.
Well, I think it's a pretty good way to end things, and I'll link it up below at Darby Allin so people will follow you and they can see the adventures in black and white.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah. And please don't die at Fight for the Fallen.
I'm over.
Or All Out or any of these.
We'll see when we get back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. It's hard to sum all that up. So much happened in that interview. First of all, please don't die, Darby. But man, a lot going on there. The story of having sex on a beehive with an old woman, a made-up story so he could get on TLC. The diaper and the X-Lax and the car, the literal hot potato. Man, I think it goes without saying that Darby Allin is going to be a megastar in AEW, and those chants for him are just going to keep getting louder and louder. Thanks to Green Roads. Use my code CHRIS15 for 15% off at greenroadsworld.com. Also, thank you to Samson Tech for the audio equipment that makes us sound so good. Thank you to you for tuning in. Thank you for the 5-star reviews. Thank you for spreading the word. If you are loving this, if you are enjoying these, please take a screenshot. Share it on your Instagram story. Let me know that you're listening, and I'd be happy to share that out with the rest of the world. Scott Steiner and Hornswoggle are going to be in South Florida this weekend for a show at Gangrel's Wrestling Asylum. So there you go. Little nugget there. Little nugget. Keep an eye out. Be on the lookout for those interviews soon. And have a great day. As you know, vague goals get vague results. Boom.